it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All. Less work, more clean. Terms apply.
Hello, my name is Brian Mylander, and you're listening to the Formula Nerds podcast.
Hi, I'm Rosanna Tennant, and you are listening to the incredible Cut to the Race podcast.
Hi, I'm Jordan King, and you're listening to Formula Nerds podcast.
Hi, I'm Crofty. You're listening to the Cut to the Race podcast. It's lights out, and away we go!
Hello and welcome to the Cut to the Race podcast. It's me, James, your host for this midweek. Well, let's say chat about the McLaren boys. That's it in a nutshell. We'll get into it with a bit more detail in a bit. And of course, to help me do just that, we have Abby and Sam. Abby, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. I'm glad we're talking about the McLaren boys because, as listeners probably know, I am a big McLaren fan. But how are you, James?
I'm good. I'm not necessarily a McLaren fan. I quite like him, but I'm happy to be talking about it as well because it's a pretty juicy topic. Sam, are you happy to be talking about it, and how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. I'm always happy to be talking F1. I grew up a McLaren fan, but this was back in the kind of Hacken and Coulthard days. I'm more ambivalent to them now. I don't really support a team, to be fair. It's a driver-centric sport, really.
Yeah. I've been more surprised, actually, by the number of McLaren. Ferrari, that's different. They're always, obviously, even outside of Italy, you get Ferrari fans. But I would agree, it's not really been the case of, like, I've known growing up either, beyond Ferrari.
And I mean, it's one of those things. I'm not a particularly kind of patriotic or jingoistic person, but I always support the Brit or a Brit.
Yeah.
And I don't even think Lando Norris is going to take the torch from Lewis Hamilton for me. I think it will be George Russell, to be fair.
Oh.
So.
Well, that's a topic for another podcast, maybe.
Or maybe Ollie Bearman.
But
that is a topic for another podcast.
Yeah. On that, very quickly before we move on, I really like Lando. I followed him through F2 and stuff. And I don't know, just the last year or so, I don't know, I feel like a little bit of his personality has maybe changed a bit. But yeah, I mean, let's talk about on track more than off track. And specifically, yeah, the fact that he has now been beaten to a sprint win, albeit for the second time by his teammate. And I think Abby actually touched on this recently in a podcast, saying you felt like Oscar would get a win before Lando. Is that right?
Yeah.
From the way that they are performing on track, I feel like Lando's more consistent, but I did just have a feeling that Piastri was like not going to give up anything and was going to take the win if he had the opportunity. And it was a sprint race win. It wasn't a Grand Prix win, but it still counts as a win in my view. So,
to be fair, after the sprint race, I tweeted saying he's going to win a Grand Prix before him as well, isn't he? Like,
yeah,
I think he will.
Yeah,
and I actually think that the reason, you know, why kind of cuts right to the Lando's biggest weakness, which, I mean, we're getting into this quickly. This is, you know, I don't think he's particularly clutch. Sorry, I just hit a thing. Sorry.
that was ominous. It kind of backed up your point with it was some real
sound effects.
Yeah, just hitting a gong. He really isn't clutch gong.
I think when the race is on the line, the game is on the line, all your chips are in, whatever sports metaphor you want to throw in here, I think he overthinks it. I think he doesn't deliver what he does on a very, very consistent basis, as Abby, you made that point before. And I think that's maybe why he's missed a couple of these opportunities, like Russia 2021. The pressure, when it's at its highest, is that when he's most unsure of himself and of his team as well.
Yeah, I mean, Russia obviously being the main point, main case in point there for that. It was, I mean, very extreme. And you have to say he very much held his head up to that chaotic final, however many laps it was. Deluge came out of nowhere. There was extreme circumstances, but I would agree and say, yeah, he sounded very panicked, understandably, again. But yeah, that is where you see, you know, the real, that level above the Lewis's, the Max's, who, when given that first opportunity, generally took it, be it Max in Spain, held on for the win when given the opportunity, you know, Lewis a few years into his career. And it's worth noting Lando is still very young. People forget that because he's been around a while. And I remember someone saying about, you know, Oscar could benefit from being, younger than Lando in having more of a career than, you know, when Max potentially wouldn't be there as an obstacle. But he's a year and like 4 months younger than Lando. There's very little in it.
Yeah, exactly. And touching on the mistakes thing, obviously both McLaren boys had their initial qualifying laps deleted and they got demoted for the starting grid of the Grand Prix in Qatar. But Lando has clearly expressed his frustrations after the weekend because he said he felt that he could have got two pole positions and potentially two victories. And for him, the most frustrating thing is that they couldn't achieve what they were going to be able to achieve because he made those little mistakes that ultimately resulted in him just finishing on the podium, whereas Piastri was able to beat him and get the pole for the sprint race and the win in the sprint race as well. And you can see why Lando would be frustrated, because he came in to F1 having been the runner-up in F2 and having won the European Formula 3 in 2017, 2018. And then he was beaten by Sainz when they were teammates. Obviously, Sainz was a lot more experienced. And then he had Ricciardo. And it was a known thing that Ricciardo struggled in that McLaren. But he managed to take the win in Monza 2021. And yes, he was strategically placed on the grid. He qualified P2, whereas Lando was P3. And then when Verstappen and Hamilton crashed out, Ricciardo could just take the win.
But that's the thing again, isn't it? It's when that opportunity presented itself.
Yeah.
Daniel was the one who was there because Lando hadn't quite delivered when, you know, he's done an incredible job of dragging that McLaren at times when it was a weak car into positions it shouldn't be in. And then, you know, generally often being the best of the rest for what, like 3 years, 4 years, even potentially now. But yeah, it's that final getting over the line. Oscar has immediately now shown that he can hold it. Hold his own and hold his nerve, albeit in a sprint race. But I mean, this is it. So we kind of segued organically into our topic without announcing it.
I was thinking, have we actually properly introduced what we're talking about today?
Just the McLaren boys. No, yeah. the crux is, do we think over the next year or so, obviously the McLaren lineup looks pretty cemented now for the foreseeable. I mean, we'll see. You know, Lando to Red Bull has been put forward, but
counted, yeah, many a times by myself.
Yeah, it's looking like it will be the two of them at least without any kind of crazy silly season going on. Do we think Oscar could come and usurp Lando as McLaren's kind of de facto number one, almost in a Lewis and Alonso-esque way? Not quite the same, obviously, but yeah, you know, Lando looking like McLaren's main man. And do we think over the next 12 months or so he could be in a bit of trouble?
It's a very interesting question. It's certainly worth debate, and I can see how people can fall on either side of it. And like, you know, as you guys were saying, like I actually said in a piece earlier this week on my five things we learned about the Qatar Grand Prix, or learned during the Castle robbery. I addressed both Piastri and Norris in two separate points, but Norris, he's got into this habit, and it's not him that's driving this, it's just circumstance and luck, of being the bridesmaid a little bit, even though he actually is more a bride.
Well, now he's what? He's got 11 podiums without a win. He is running towards that Nick Heidfeld record, which I think is 13. I mean, I'm sure he'll get a win at some point in his career, but, you know, he's only two away now from one of those Hülkenberg-esque unwanted records.
I feel a little bit like that. Was it that thing a few weeks ago where someone said that they said George Russell was the modern-day Felipe Massa, which I think is a disservice. I think being compared to Nick Heidfeld does Lando Norris a disservice. And I think it's that situation of he, as Abby said, you know, I made the same points in this piece that actually, if you look at it, yes, Carlos Sainz got close to double the points Lando did in 2019. It's Lando's first year in a sport. He's had 1 year in F2. So just this single season.
He was a teenager. And I remember he actually got very unlucky generally in that season. He did. The last lap retirement in Belgium, I seem to remember. Yeah.
And I remember early in that year, Lando being on the pace. Like there wasn't a huge delta between him and Carlos. And this was right when McLaren had first made those steps forward from the kind of abysmal kind of 2017, 2018 period that they had. And I was like, wow, immediately, you're like, this guy, like, no, he's good. And maybe it was my naivety, maybe it was because I didn't watch the junior formulas in the same way that I do now. But I saw Oscar Piastri coming. We all did. And I felt like Lando Norris, I mean, it certainly took me by surprise more. So maybe that's distorted my kind of view of that. I thought he had more of a wow factor straight out of the gate.
I think, I'm speaking for you here, but I think you're probably paying more attention to the junior Formula now than you were 5-6 years ago.
Yeah, I think that's, is a very fair point. But yeah, I think we need to be careful here with the Piastri thing. He's had one good weekend. This is the first weekend where he has outmatched Lando Norris. And yes, you would assume that he's going to continue on that trajectory of getting better and better and better. But Lando Norris didn't have a bad weekend. He made a couple of sloppy mistakes. And
pure
yes,
pace.
When it was all on the line. And yeah, the pure pace was there.
I mean, he started 10th and finished, a second or two behind him.
Yeah.
And there was obviously the team orders. You know, we could get into that if you want to, but...
And he wasn't gifted his way through to the front in the same way that Oscar was in that race. Or, you know, the Red Sea passes for Oscar on the first corner. Thank you, Mercedes. That didn't happen for Lando. He was further back. And yet he was still there on pure pace and strategy.
Yes, Lando makes some mistakes, but he is consistent in getting good results and he is able to improve. And like you say, he started P10 and he managed to get up to the podium positions. And it wasn't an easy, like, overtaking all the cars in front of him. It was a challenge. And if you look at this season so far, Lando has 6 podiums, including the sprint races. Piastri has 3 and a win. But Norris is higher in the standings. He's in P7 on 136 points, whilst Piastri is P9 and 53 points behind. So I think it's very easy to go, okay, Piastri won F3, he won F2, had a year out, he's come into F1, he has been able to score points, unlike Sargeant, who is also a rookie and who hasn't been able to score points. He's taken a win, he looks like he can challenge Lando. And we can all get caught up in that and be like, yeah, he's amazing. But like you said, Sam, it is only one weekend. Who knows what is going to happen? Yes, he is a majorly talented, and I do think he will win many more races. But I also think Lando is incredibly talented and will also win many more races. Well, will win races. He hasn't won one yet.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I think up until this point, Piastri had had very bright moments in the season. Like, I think we all were very impressed at how he dealt with Azerbaijan, given how ill he was. I think he was something, four pieces of toast over the weekend he ate. Like, it clearly was very, very unwell and still, you know, carried on. The British Grand Prix looked very, very quick. Obviously, Japan, he got the sprint podium in Belgium. He's had these brilliant moments, but now is he going to be doing this up there with Lando every weekend? That still remains to be seen. But with Lando, I think, and to address something that I said in the past, I got slammed for calling a George Russell a generational talent or a yet to be proven generational talent. I think I've maybe been too liberal with the use of generational talent in the past, but
pretty much everyone on the internet has. It's fine.
Yeah. I think George is aside, and I think we'll get into George and Alex and Charles in a bit, because I think it's part of a wider tapestry. I think, you know, the McLaren guys aren't in a vacuum here, but with Lando, I've never felt like that. I feel like he can be a future world champion, but I've never felt like he could be a generational talent, or he is. I think Oscar Piastri, his ceiling is higher. He could be a bit of a boy wonder, right? And I don't think that's quite where Lando is, but I think Oscar still has a long way to go to get to Lando's level. I think Lando is in that elite group of drivers.
Yeah, and this is the thing. This is what I was going to say. Like, it was pretty much accepted the way things have gone over the last couple of years, that Lando is probably in most people's top four, five on the grid. Fernando
high school again. Who's in the top five? Yeah.
Fernando's obviously reminded people exactly what he can do. That's the thing. There's a lot of recency bias. People were like, oh, well, you know, the best on the grid Lewis and Max often get separated, and probably rightly so. But then it's like, you know, Charles was probably accepted as third last year when he had that great start to the year. And then the start of this year, everyone's like, well, you know, Lewis, Max and Alonso. And there is a bit of that. But I think, yeah, Lando would be in most people's top five consistently now. But I think, yeah, what it boils down to is it's kind of the narrative, isn't it? Oscar was helped as well by McLaren's slow start to the season. He was definitely finding his feet. He was more notably kind of away from Lando's ultimate pace in the first half of the season. And then just as McLaren have come good, he's kind of settled into it, found his feet. He didn't get properly thrown in the spotlight at the start, and he's been able to, yeah, acclimatise. And then once he's had the car to deliver these kind of performances, credit to him, he has actually delivered them.
Exactly, he has. And I think what felt different about Qatar, though, is that he put it all together. I really feel like he maximised what he had that weekend. Sprint quali pole, the win in the sprint, and then P2. That feels like the absolute best Oscar Piastri could have achieved this weekend. Whereas, you know, Japan, that wasn't the case.
Yeah, he was British disappointed. Grand Prix, that certainly was.
Exactly.
On his first podium, yeah.
So that's a pivotal point. That's a turning point, right, for him. And, you know, has that opened the floodgates for him? Has it unlocked something in which he can then say, I can access this level now. I'm here. I don't think, you know, I've never found to be this upward trajectory. You have peaks and troughs. And I think we're going to have to see that. I think we've still potentially got a sophomore slump coming for Piastri next year. You know, it's so early for this in some ways to try and kind of judge. But yeah, it's going to be really difficult for Norris, because I think he is absolutely in that kind of upper, you know, reaches of the drivers. But then is he more a George or an Alex? And I think Charles is starting, maybe it's just this season. I don't think Charles is quite up there with the kind of Max, Alonso and Lewis Hamilton debate. I think he's in the second tier. But I think Lando at the moment is probably in there with George and probably Alex Albon. But again, can Alex Albon do that in a top car? He's having fantastic in the Williams.
is George and Alex, are they above Charles in your ranking, your tier system?
No.
Okay,
I'm talking groupings. I'm not ranking within the groupings.
Okay.
As such, sorry if I lost you there. And also, sorry if I lost you, listener. We need to see more from Lando to break into that top tier. And this is where I think Oscar in time will have an easier time of getting into that top group. But I think he's still a long way off that, whereas I think Norris is currently closer to it.
Yeah, I agree, I think Norris is closer. And looking back to Singapore, obviously Carlos Sainz won. It was the only race this season that Red Bull and like Max and Perez didn't win. But Norris finished P2. He was 0.8 seconds behind Sainz finishing that Grand Prix. And Sainz played the game of keeping Norris within DRS and that. But I do think if there were a couple more laps to the Singapore Grand Prix, we would have seen Norris potentially overtake Sainz, because in that race, he was absolutely on it and pushing it, and he was fighting for that win. It's just at the time when the checkered flag came, Sainz was sitting first and holding Norris behind. So I think Norris is close to getting the win. And out of the younger drivers on the grid, I would say that he is the most likely to be a world champion. And I think he could be a world champion in the future ahead of Piastri. But I think Piastri could still win the race first.
Interesting. So on Singapore, I didn't actually manage to catch the full race with Singapore because I was away. The narrative afterwards was very much like, oh, Norris maximised his result and he worked cleverly with Carlos Sainz. They both worked cleverly together almost to get the best out of it for themselves and kind of protect Norris from the Mercedes as well as protecting Sainz from the Mercedes. So are you saying that actually you feel like Norris could have done more? Or do you think he left anything on the table there?
I feel like he did the best he could for that number of laps. But if there were a couple more laps, he would have found something else within himself, within the car, to potentially overtake Sainz.
I don't know if I agree with that, but I do agree in the bigger picture, I think I would still... I think Lando has at least as much potential as Oscar. That's the minimum I'm going to go to there. I think Oscar has a very high ceiling. It's worth noting in that F2 championship, the one he competed in, he was in the Carlin, which was the inferior, okay, not car, they're all the same car, inferior outfit compared to George's Prema. I think Lando has a huge amount of potential, and I think he probably will remain the number one. I'm yet to be totally convinced that Oscar will, steal that. But I think, McLaren could prove to have, right up there with Lewis and George. And, I think probably the second strongest pairing by next year, potentially. But let us know what you think. Do you think it's Lando who's going to take that first proper win? Or if it's Oscar, and who's going to... There was a gasp there, Sam. What?
Well, but that's the thing. There's who's going to take the first win? Who might or could win the first championship? It's so much a circumstance, right? This is what I'm going back and forth with. It's such a nuanced topic.
Yeah, it's not as simple as A or B, but. Let us know whether it's A, B, or C, or wherever you may think, with info@formulanerds.com. And I think we've all got our opinion across, but I'm gonna do my standard A or B, much to Sam's disgust. No nuance allowed. Who do you think will take the first McLaren win of the current era of McLaren? Well, that was already Daniel. Who's going to get the next win for McLaren? Oscar or Lando? Sam first.
Oscar. And I think he'll win a championship first as well.
Oh, extra. Didn't even ask for it. Love it. Abby.
Oscar will take the first win. Lando will take the first championship.
Okay.
And you, James?
I think Lando will take the first win. I don't know about championship. That's
come on, brass tacks, mate. Come on.
I didn't. You added this on.
Yeah, so here we are.
All right. I'm still going Lando. I'll go Lando. So there you go. We've gone across the board. No one quite agreeing.
Interesting.
Well, we are interested to hear what you guys think as well. So let us know. And well, we'll be back soon with another juicy topic to debate. Until then, thank you guys for joining me, Sam, Abby.
Thank you very much for having us.
Likewise.
And we'll all catch you on the next one. See you then. Bye-bye.
You're listening to the Cut to the Race podcast. It's lights out and away we go.
Sports Social Podcast Network.